I do a combination. I do like the forefront, like the mindset work and all of that preparation. But really, it's a business strategy that I teach, which is heavily around personal branding.
Welcome back to For Entrepreneurs by Entrepreneurs. I am Eric Verdi. This is episode 25. With us today is Lauren Brown from Chile. From South America. So we've had New Zealand, Australia, England, Great Britain, California. We've got South America now, which is awesome. So Lauren, we have a very similar kind of, in the pre-interview talking to her, our lives are based on story, based on connecting. That's kind of her superpower, but she also helps brand and marketing strategy specifically for women, although she said she would take male clients, but her genre is to women. So Lauren, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Eric. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to learn more about you. So give our listeners and viewers your backstory. And what business are you in?
Oh, okay. Well, backstory is kind of long. I'll give a spark note. But I am from New England originally, outside of Boston. Went to school in Baltimore. And right after graduating, I was deciding between doing Peace Corps or following a boyfriend at the time to California. And when I visited California, I loved it. I saw opportunities in San Francisco and decided to move there. So 10 days after graduating, moved to San Francisco, worked in the tech startup world, and then continued to follow opportunities. And one of them, I realized very quickly joining, even though it was the tech world, it was still kind of corporate-y. And at this time, this was like 2010, this was even like pre-Uber, like pre-Twitter building. It was a different world in San Francisco at the time, pre-Salesforce building. Anyways, everyone wanted to just be acquired, all the companies. And so it was getting kind of cutthroat. And I felt like, you know, the integrity of the businesses was kind of put on a back burner. And what was the most important was making money. And so a lot of things just felt out of alignment. I felt like my bosses and managers didn't even, you know, care about my team and anything like that. So I felt really early on like I do not know how I'm supposed to survive 40 years in an office that's cutthroat, where people don't even care about you, and where you say you're trying to serve clients, but really you don't care if you give them a bad product and you just want their money. So I'd also always loved international business and Spanish, so it was always kind of haunting me a little, this decision that I didn't go do Peace Corps and didn't go abroad. So that was always in the back of my mind as I was building a life in San Francisco and also getting older, wondering, you know, if time continues to go by, would I ever go back to live abroad if I don't move soon? And my friend actually offered me an opportunity, knowing that I had worked with Kiva in San Francisco as an intern. That was one of my first experiences moving out there. And she asked me if I wanted to help build her company in Mexico. And at this time, it was really funny because I had hated that other job. And so I was in a lot of interviews and I was about to be offered a job to be a tech recruiter. And she then offered me this opportunity to go to Mexico. So I had just splurged on all of these like suits and blouses and office gear. And then she offered me this position. And it was definitely one of those crossroad moments where I knew what my life would look like if I stayed in San Francisco. But I had no idea what the other path would look like. And so I jumped on it, went to Mexico for what ended up to be 1 year, and then decided to move to Colombia, which turned into 2 years there. And then now I'm in Chile and it's been about 3.5 years.
So when did you take the jump into being an entrepreneur for yourself? You came from the tech industry, you helped a friend start a company. So when did you take that jump yourself?
Well, you know, that's actually a really interesting question. I feel like kind of a little late, honestly, considering all of my experience. So I had dabbled also in network marketing and direct sales. So some people call that being an entrepreneur, some people don't. Now that I'm building like a real business, bootstrapping in all the parts, it definitely, you know, doesn't have all the aspects of doing something from scratch yourself. So definitely when I was in Colombia was when I got really scrappy and not so much a full-time entrepreneur, but I was doing freelancing. I was working as a VA I was writing articles. I was doing all these different things. But it really wasn't until recently when I decided to put all of these aspects together and build a brand and build a company around it.
So really,
this last year, honestly, is branding myself as a company versus doing one-off, you know, freelance projects for people.
So what do you help women, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs do?
Yeah, so if you can't tell, I love living abroad. I love traveling in new experiences and taking risks and just trying to live a big, bold life. We only get one of them. And so on this journey, a lot of people have asked me, wow, how have you started over? How have you moved to so many different cities or different countries? How do you do it? And so I realized that that is one of the missions that I want to take on is helping to inspire people, especially women, that you do not have to stay in a job that you hate. You know, you do not have to only strive for like the picket fence and the 2.5 kids and the dog and the whatever. Like, you can deviate and you can map out your own way, even if you don't have a plan yet. And so I do a combination. I do like the forefront, like the mindset work and all of that preparation. But really, it's a business strategy that I teach, which is heavily around personal branding and personal marketing using social media. But the idea is to encourage people to move abroad, do the digital nomad expat thing, and also give them strategies of how they can make money abroad.
So what is your superpower?
Oh, goodness. Well, you and I said connecting. So I really feel like I can connect well with people and, you know, use all of my experiences really as examples and as teaching moments for others. And then also creating like a personal side to marketing. So that also has to do with connecting. And really, you know, Instagram actually is about personal relationships. It is about the person behind the image. So really turning brands into a personal relationship, not just, you know, a color and a logo, but who's behind that. And I use storytelling to do that as well, which is another thing that you and I share is this love for people's stories.
So connecting, meeting people, helping entrepreneurs. When you're bringing in a new client, okay, or a new entrepreneur, solopreneur, and for those that don't know what a solopreneur is, it's an entrepreneur that basically is by themselves, like you are at this time. Give me the first week. Like, what's the first week and what's the first month play out? Like, are we talking about what's my long-term goal? Or are we talking about, are you getting to know the client first? Like, what's that first week and that first month look like?
Yeah, great question. So one of the most important things is figuring out what the person's why is, because it doesn't matter what goal you put, if it's a small goal or a huge goal, you're not going to accomplish it if you do not know the why behind it, because that's really the fuel that keeps us going. And so our first strategy session and one of the first assignments I give my clients, whether they just want to do like purely marketing and branding, or they want to build a business, or they want to learn just Instagram, is I actually ask them, I have a worksheet and it has a lot of questions about who are you? What is your personal story? What were those turning points in your story? What are your values? And a lot of these questions that people might think, oh, this is kind of irrelevant. But really, if you don't fully know all those things about yourself, it really is going to be much harder to create your brand, to create your marketing strategy, to figure out those stories that and those experiences that make you unique. So really what I do first is kind of a deep dive on the person and helping the person discover and uncover about themselves, what their passions are, what they feel their purpose is, why they want to start a business, why they want to move abroad, and all of those passions and experiences and talents, how they can morph that together into a product that can serve other people.
So have you ever read the book Rocket Fuel?
No, I actually have not read that one.
Okay, I'll email that to you when we're done so you can go buy it. It's an awesome book. I think it's going to help you tremendously when you're talking to entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, is that there's basically two kinds of entrepreneurs, two kinds of people in business. One is the visionary, okay, that has like the overall vision. And then one's the like the integrator. So like, you know, Steve Jobs was a visionary. Wozniak was the like the behind the scenes guy. Warren Buffett has his right hand man that you don't even know about, but he's the integrator. So looking at you, are you more of the visionary or are you more of the everything's got to be done this way, this way, this way? Like what's your role? How do you see yourself?
No, I am definitely the visionary. I have more idea. My ideas have their own ideas. I have like okay. So many things I want to do. And I definitely want to hire a right-hand man to keep me on track with all of the things, because I definitely get excited and have a big vision for what I want to do with this. And really, I love creating communities and networks for women. So right now I've created a very strong one here in Chile. And the focus now is how can I make that bigger, starting with other Latin American cities and then abroad.
Awesome. So how long have you spoke Spanish?
So, I mean, I started learning in, what was that, middle school or high school, but I don't know if that really is considered speaking Spanish.
Right.
But then in college, I decided to do an exchange to Argentina. And I specifically chose Argentina because it had the most challenging Spanish courses, and because hardly any other students from my university were going there. So I knew it would force me to learn the language. So I did all of my classes in Spanish. It was very, very challenging. I had to write like 20-page essays in Spanish. I only lived with Spanish speakers. But by the end of 6 months, I was now not just book, you know, able to read and write, but I could actually speak and interact. And then, yeah, so that was in university. But then, of course, you lose it. And then moving back abroad, you start to remember everything and then you just become a sponge. But if you want to learn a language, move somewhere, and you need to be immersed and kind of like cut those ties. Don't live with English speakers.
Any other languages or just Spanish?
No, just Spanish right now. I once tried taking French at the same time as learning Spanish, but that was it confused everything. I could barely speak Spanish at that time when I was trying to learn French. So
what are your two favorite meals in Chile? Like what are your two favorite dishes?
Chile is not, the cuisine in Chile is not as amazing as say Mexico. When I lived there, the food's really good. But the pisco sours in Chile are quite delicious, and that is their cocktail. And then of course the wine selection is amazing. But we have a lot of great fresh fish. It's a huge coast. The country also loves meat. They do a tradition at weddings where they'll put like a whole, what is it, cordero, what is, lamb? No, okay. Goat. One of those like on the skewers on an right. open fire, and that is really good.
So how close to the ocean are you?
So Santiago is the capital city. That's where I am. And one of the things that makes this city so great is that you're only 1 hour from the ocean and about 1 hour from the mountains. So you could literally like go skiing and then go to the beach. So it's really well located. And it's quite easy to get to. Even if you don't have a car, you can do buses to the ocean very easily.
Awesome. So when the tag on your website is helping female entrepreneurs build business and show up for one another so they can live abroad or something. It's like that, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So how do you so what tips are like, give me three tips. Tell me three tips about living abroad.
Well, like for how to live abroad, like how to move there or
I don't know. You go find an Airbnb first, you do this. Like give me three, like if I were looking to spend a year abroad, like what would be the first three things that I would have to do?
Yeah, well, first of all, people think that they're like, I'm gonna move once I find my job or my opportunity there. I say no, because so much has to happen on the ground networking. If you are trying to find an opportunity in the country you want to move to. So much happens just by like, who do you know, going to networking events. So I would say, just set deadlines for yourself, right? figure out, like, build yourself a little savings account so that you know you can survive, you know, X amount of months without any income, but right. then go there, or maybe start your business before getting ready to leave, pay off the things that are pending. But that's one of the reasons that living abroad is so great, is because you can have an amazing lifestyle for a lot less money than living in the USA. So I would say take the leap sooner rather than later because of that, right? If you're staying and paying your car and your house and your rent and your health insurance and all of those things in USA, like, that's really expensive every month. But when you go to Chile, like, my apartment is quite large, and in total, it's only like $500. No, it's about like $700 a month, but it's a 2-bedroom, 2-bath, really well located. And when I was living in San Francisco, like, forget it. My right. my sharing a bedroom was less than that. So the three tips would be: put it on your calendar, save up some cash. You know, you can never create the most perfect strategy. So create, like, some options, like A, B, and C. I'm going to start a company. I'm going to freelance. I can teach English. Like, there are so many things. And when you get to the place, join all the networking groups you can. There are meetup groups. There's, what is it called? Internations. You know, go on Facebook. There are so many Facebook groups, like expats in this city. And just start networking, because that is how opportunities happen.
I love it. I love it. So, Lauren, let's wrap this up. How would listeners, viewers find you, learn more about you?
Yes, I would say on Instagram is the best place. Very easy to find me. It is by Lauren Brown. And then my website is the same thing, bylaurenbrown.com. And then also on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Lauren.Brown. So there, my name's quite popular, but I managed to score the Facebook link. So yes, social media, Instagram and Facebook is definitely the best way to connect with me, but I am also on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you so much for having me, Eric.
That is episode 25 for Entrepreneurs by Entrepreneurs, Lauren Brown. If you need help with branding, marketing strategy, figuring out how to move overseas and continue your life and lifestyle, hit up Lauren Brown, episode 25, and we are out.